Tonight, and we're going to begin. Keep them handy. Want to go to a couple places tonight, but want to begin in Psalms chapter number 9. Psalms chapter number 9. Chapter 9. You know, there's a few worlds that we deal with. We deal with the physical world. Everything in the physical world has a makeup. Our bodies has a makeup. Water has a makeup. We teach the children, combination of making water takes two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen. You add in more molecules of oxygen, it's no longer water. You add another molecule of hydrogen, it's no longer water. And so everything has its makeup. We also understand that we have an emotional world that we deal with, emotions and things. Sometimes people can't see. Sometimes when you're like me, people see your emotions on your face. But then sometimes they don't. And then also we have a spiritual world. And so there's a lot of people that confuses. Tonight, I know that I rarely do this with just a church on a Sunday night, but tonight I want to look at some things about hell. I want to just take a look at hell and some issues of hell, because I think it's good for the sinner to look at hell, and I think it's good for the saint to look at hell. I think it's good for us to learn. Some people want to believe that hell is not literal. I took this survey off, and I don't know, I take it for being accurate, but said they did a survey, and 35% of Baptists did not believe that hell or heaven was a literal place. A literal place. 54% of Presbyterians didn't believe. 58% of Methodists didn't believe that it was a literal place. Episcopalians, 60%. Now get this. 71% of the 8 leading seminaries, 71% of the instructors and students involved in seminary did not believe hell or heaven was a literal place. Sometimes somebody said it one time and use it a lot of times. We get too smart for our own britches. When we begin to think that, and there's a lot of people, when they can't understand something, they want to try to spiritualize it. Let me let you in on a secret. Hell is a literal place. Heaven is too. I look forward to going to heaven, but there was a time if I died, I'd went to hell. Only by the grace of God am I now going to heaven. Amen. But even when I was lost, I never doubted that there was a place called hell. The more that I heard about it, the more fearful I became of going there. Psalms chapter number 9, David says this in verse number 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit they made, and the net which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgaion. Now, the word higgaion there, it means to have a meditation or song about it. It says Salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Nations are made up of people. and people that forget God. We were talking in the men's room back there a few minutes ago about what happens when Christ comes back to the little earth. The Bible teaches there will be a judgment of the nations. Those nations that forget God, those nations that turns upon Israel, they will be the ones that will be taken to the left hand, the goats in Matthew 25 that it talks about. The ones on the right hand, the sheep, will be able to enter into the kingdom. Doesn't mean they're all going to be saved, but they have the privilege of going into the kingdom and reigning into the kingdom. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. But let's talk about hell just a few moments, and I want to deal with a couple of thoughts of it if I can. To understand hell, you have to understand there are two places, actually there's three places that the Bible speaks of and refers to hell. One is only used one time in one place. We'll talk about it. It's Tarsus in the Greek, the word, and there's one that's called Hades in the Greek. Then there's one that's called Gehenna in the Greek. Now, not that I'm a Greek scholar, but it separates the three because you begin to have a different vision of those. One is, Hades is a place that has existed from the time that God created the earth. When God created the earth, there had already been something that took place. Satan had already fell. He was cast down. Jesus said he saw it. Before the foundation of the earth, he saw Satan cast out of heaven. Satan was at work. And somewhere between the creation of the earth and the population of the earth, Satan was cast down, I should say, instead of before the foundation of the earth, but before the creation of the earth. Because Satan had already been cast down before Adam and Eve was upon the earth. But we do believe that Satan was present as Lucifer at the creation when Jesus created the whole world. The reason why I believe that is because they sang. And I really believe that Lucifer was the one that was given the gift of singing and leading and singing in heaven. I believe that because when you read about him in Ezekiel chapter 28, God specially made his pipes. And he had a voice. He had a very persuasive. You never hear again, as you've heard me taught and teach, never again throughout the scriptures does another angel ever sing after the creation of the world in Job chapter 38, verse 7. But the Bible tells us also in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Now, there was a hell in the heart of the earth. We don't understand all about it. Even scientists understand that in the heart of the earth is a fiery place. We know, and those who live around places that's got volcanoes knows what it's like when those places erupt. Jesus verified that that's where hell was because when he died, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 as well as in Psalms chapter 16, that God was not going to leave his soul in hell. When he died, he went to hell. When he went to hell, he went down into the heart of the earth. He went down into Hades. Hades is a place that is a prison, is a place of torments for souls and spirits. And so the soul of all lost people goes down to Hades when they die. They are tormented in flames. Now, as I was teaching this morning in Sunday school, before Abraham's bosom, before Jesus resurrected, Abraham's bosom was down there beside of it. They could see each other. Or at least the ones in hell could see over. And even Abraham had a conversation with the rich man that was in hell. We don't understand how all that worked, but it was able to work. But Abraham made it clear that there was a great gulf between the two of them, and there was no way one could pass over to the other one. It was a total separation. When you died, you went to one or the other. And the Bible says, and Jesus told us about it, because he knew, he created it, he knew more about it than anybody else. He said, when the rich man died, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He told us a lot, and some people tries to make the rich man Lazarus a parable, but nowhere does the Bible emphasize it to be a parable. He doesn't call names whenever there's parables, and Jesus told plainly some things that occurred. He told about some things that even as a man's body was here upon this earth, he told about some things that the man experienced in his soul. He was in agony. He was suffering torments. He was sitting there and he was having memory and remembering his family, remembering his opportunities, remembering his regrets. So he had no hope. Of all the things he asked, you would think that if he had any hope in hell, which Ecclesiastes said there is none, but if there was any hope in hell, you would think that first thing he would ask for is, how can I get out here? But you never find that mentioned. Because when you go to hell, all hope is gone. Amen. That's right. There is no hope there. And so therefore, he never even asked about himself because he had no hope of redeeming himself out of there. The only hope he had was maybe something he could say or do might influence his brothers from coming to that terrible place of torment. Now, when you follow the Bible, you find that what happens is when Abraham's bosom moved out, hell enlarged herself. Isaiah talked about it, predicted it in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Not only that, but as hell enlarged herself, we find that right now still, the same place that housed Cain, that housed Korah, and if you notice, when Korah went down, his family went down to hell, earth opened its mouth and swallowed him and his family up into hell down there. Hades, hell, is there. Everybody that we've known in our lifetime that's died, that's not been saved, whether you think they did or not, they're in hell. Their soul is there. They're down there with the rich man in torments. They're down there with Cain. They're down there with Korah. They're down there with everybody. And so they're down there and they're in this terrible place of torments. Hades will continue. It will continue on through the tribulation period. It will continue on through the millennial reign. And then at the end of the millennial reign, Christ will come. And if you'll turn in your Bibles a moment with me, in chapter number 20 of Revelation. Now, I know you've seen this before, but I just want to lay a groundwork on a couple things I want to bring out. In chapter 20, the Bible says this in verse number 14. First, it says in verse 13 that the sea gave up the dead, and the dead is lost people, which were in it. In other words, somebody says, well, so-and-so drowned in the sea. The Titanic, where they drowned, a lot of people drowned in the sea. Many of those people were lost. Their bodies went down to the sea. Their soul went down to hell. Whenever after the reign of Christ, after the imprisonment of the false prophet and the Antichrist, after Satan is bound and cast into hell, to be tormented forever and ever, and you'll find that in chapter 20. If you look down in verse number 10, the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the devil is already there. And then in verse number 12, all the dead comes out of Hades. Every lost soul that's ever died, that's been awaiting the judgment, this great white throne judgment of Jesus, will come and stand before Jesus. The dead, the Bible says, small and great, will stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is a book of life. Now, we spent time in teaching, and we'll do that again sometime. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Somebody said, why do they have to give an account of their works? They're going to hell. Because there's different degrees in hell. That's why Jesus made a statement. It would be more tolerable than for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for the people of Capernaum that died without Jesus. The reason is the people of Capernaum had more opportunity. And can I tell you this? It will be more tolerable for the people in Africa than it will be for Americans that dies without Jesus. Because the Americans have had a lot more opportunity of being saved. Now, look on, if you would, back in your Bibles and notice that when they were, the sea gave up the dead that was in it, and death and hell, I delivered up the dead that was in them. Now, somebody said, what's death? Death is where it, on the land where the dead lies. The bodies will be given. Now, and hell delivered up dead within them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. Now, the lake of fire is what we call Gehenna. It is a lake of fire. It is not one right now. They're sitting down in the hardy earth. They're in torments. In hell, it's going to be different. I've heard people say, well, we're going to party in hell. No. In hell, from what I gather, in hell, it would be this. There is something unusual, and I'll give it to you. I taught on it one time and spent about an hour and a half teaching on it here, and I'm not going to get into it tonight other than just kind of give you something to think about. Maybe you want to study sometime, and we'll bring it out. What the Bible is teaching here is the reason that hell and death has to deliver up the dead, they come back to stand before the Lord. When they do, they are given a body in which to endure eternal punishment. If you don't believe the punishment is going to be eternal, like eternal life, they're going to have eternal death. All you have to do is turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Read verses 8 through 10, and it tells you plainly that it is eternal. Eternal destruction, eternal damnation, eternal punishment. What you need to understand is this, they will be given a body. Now the Bible makes this little phrase, and I've heard some people teach that is something that I don't think is what they teach it to be. The Bible says the worm dieth not. Now we do know when Jesus was teaching about hell in Mark, teaching there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Teaching that it's better to go into hell maimed than to go in with two hands and two feet. So we do know that you have a body structure. Psalm chapter 22, when David was hanging upon the cross, when David was talking as Christ hanging upon the cross before he ever went to the cross and telling about the emotions that Christ would be going through, Psalms 22 is Jesus' emotional trip upon the cross, some things that he was experiencing. In one place, and I believe it's verse 6, I'm not sure, but I believe it's verse 6, he says, I'm a worm, I'm not a man. Jesus also described over in Mark chapter number 9 that the worm dieth not. He also mentioned it in a couple other places where the worm would not die. Matter of fact, in Revelation, we're reminded as well that the worm does not die. The worm is a body in which God gives those individuals to endure the lake of fire. The lake of fire is going to be a terrible thing because from what I can envision, it will be a place where it's just continually falling. I cannot imagine. And I've been in place, and I used to when I took diving, rescue diving. We learned how to dive, and then after we learned how to dive and we wanted to rescue dive and go out and rescue people, we had to go to more intense training. A couple things of the training that we had to go through is we had to go out here to the lake. We had to find a place about 50 or 60 feet deep. And they put us out of the boat. And they took all the air out and turned our lights off. And we just fell in darkness. Weirdest feeling I ever had. I mean, I could do this and not see. It was in the middle of the night. It was pitch dark. You saw nothing. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even tell you which way was up. I began to fall down through the water and sink down in the water, and I was trying to figure out which way I was up. You lose all sense. It was totally dark. It was the eeriest feeling. And my mind went to Deuteronomy, where it says that the foot shall always slide. And we got down, I finally got down to the bottom. And I stood, and it was kind of a steep place, and my feet were sliding in the mud as I was sliding down. And it was such a feeling of hopelessness to be able to go down there. And I was thinking how hell in a lake of fire. And here they are giving this worm that dies not, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's constantly falling and suffering and dying. And so what happens is at this judgment, after they are given, after God, however he does it, he reveals to every one of them their works. That's why David said over there in chapter 9, they'll go to hell of their own making. They'll make choices that will put them there. And it's a snare that they set for themselves. And so what will happen when the judgment is through? They will be cast into the lake of fire. Somebody said, I'm not going. You won't have a choice. It's not up to you. God puts you there. And just like this, when you are cast in that lake of fire, there you'll be, just like the devil, tormented forever and ever. Had this one guy tell me one time, I talked to him, and he told me this. He said, I've been a good soldier for Satan. He'll reward me when I get there. I said, buddy, you don't understand. It was prepared for him to suffer more than anybody else. Satan ain't going to be interested in nothing but his own suffering. As you saw there in verse number 10 of chapter 20, he's going to be suffering and tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, I said all that to say this. Turn with me again, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 66. And very next two chapters in Revelation there, we find that after the great white throne judgment, that God makes a new heaven, he makes a new earth. And I know I've showed you this before, but I want to read it to give thought and give you a thought. Sometimes people have their own minds, but sometimes God puts some things in here to kind of give us something to think about. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 22, for as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now he's talking to Israel. Israel will remain upon the new earth that's made. God promised them that they would forever reign on the earth. And that's going to be where Israel will be. Somebody said, the heavenly Jerusalem is for Israel. Nope. The earthly Jerusalem is for Israel. The heavenly Jerusalem is for us that are saints. They're part of the church. We will be there. Now stay with me a minute. And notice what he says. He says in verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, in other words, they will still keep their feast during those times, and from one Sabbath to another, they will keep their Sabbath at that time, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now remember the church, the ones with Christ will be up there in the place he's going to prepare for them. But God, through this new creation, they'll have a place on earth. Verse 24, and they shall go forth. And now notice this. And they shall look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For what? Their worm shall not die. Neither shall their what? Same thing Jesus said, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. In other words, on the earth, as they worship, and they'll go up, they'll keep certain new moons, they'll keep certain Sabbaths, but then there'll be also a time that they'll go over and they're able to look. And when God creates, when Gehenna, the lake of fire, they'll be able evidently to see. They'll be able to see all the carcasses in the lake of fire of people that transgressed. If you notice there, the Bible says in the present tense that they'll look upon them. Not that they've done it in the past, but they'll look upon them from a new heaven, new earth. And they will look upon them. They'll be able to see them. Somebody said, well, I don't understand. I thought he's removed all heaven. This is the ones that reigns upon the earth. This is the one that will go into the new earth from the millennial reign. We will have glorified bodies up in the new heaven. We will be there in the new heaven. And we will be with Christ. And we will worship God. And we will serve him in that new heaven, in that place that he's prepared for us. But those that go on the earth will come up there, and they'll be able to enter up into that. But they'll also be able to look over and see those in the lake of fire. Now imagine that. But from that point on, there'll be no more death, because death was cast in the lake of fire. It's done. No more sin. Satan was cast in the lake of fire. They have the tree of life. They have the river of life. They have all those things that keep life upon the new earth that they were guarded against from the Garden of Eden. Now picture this just a moment. In hell. As I said and began the message, I'll say this real quickly. A place is defined by its physical descriptions. But there's also some things that are not there that the Bible tells us. Imagine this. The Bible says, and several places, and one place we preached from this morning, and several places you'll find this phrase, outer darkness. There'll be no light. Absolutely no light. You'll never in hell. Somebody said, well, fire will give us light. Fire, when it gets so hot, gets black. That's why the Bible says it will be outer darkness. The only thing that you'll have of light is a memory. And you'll think about what light looked like. But you'll never see it again. Forever and ever and ever. Outer darkness. You said, preacher, why share this with us? We're going to heaven. Well, it may be someone that you need to be really reaching out to is not. But no light. This is not some, as some people would have you to believe, some figurative. You see, the light of the world would not be there. There would be no light. The light of the gospel, Satan has blinded their minds. And so they're going to a place of outer darkness. Not just darkness, outer darkness. There to be forever and ever. So there'll be absolutely no light. Not only that, there'll be no laughter. And can I say this? One of my pet peeves. Don't ever make a joke about hell. And please, don't buy some bumper sticker and have something about party in hell or something like that, or something stupid about hell. Not even a joke. It's not funny that people's going to die and go there. The worst people in the world is not even funny. I do not even wish that to the worst person that ever walked upon this earth. Because hell is that devastating. Do they deserve it? Yes, but so did we. But it's never, don't ever use it lightly. Always understand, hell is no joke. It's nothing to laugh about. and it's nothing to crack jokes about. And there'll be no laughter. The only laughter that a person will ever hear is in their memory. And that memory will torment them because of their memory of how it used to be. The people in hell right now is tormented. The flames are tormenting them. Other things are tormenting them, but their memory's tormenting them. And so they're thinking, and they're remembering, and they're understanding that they had opportunities. By their own snares, they went there. Can I tell you something else? There's no liquid in hell. No water. Remember what the rich man asked for? Just a drop of water to cool his tongue. And that was in Hades. That was before he got into the lake of fire. And by the way, he's not there yet. That's yet a future thing that's going to wait for him. And so what you need to understand is the only thing he has of liquid is memory. Thinking what it used to taste like when he got a drink of water. Somebody said, boy, I'm thirsting to death. No. But can you imagine what it'd be like it'd be in hell? No liquid forever. Imagine the parseness of whatever form of mouth that you would have. Can I say something else? No liberty. Somebody said, well, I had this one guy tell me, he said, I think my dad's there and I want to go be with him. Do you understand that you have no liberty to join with somebody else? There is no communicating among each other. The Bible says what you'll be doing is instead of talking, you'll be weeping and gnashing your teeth. How many of you have ever seen a dog get hurt and turn and bite itself? It's gnashing its teeth when it's hurting itself. And sometimes you can have one and you can take its tail. I used to take a tail from one and I'd flip it in the face when I was smaller and agitate it. And it would gnash upon that tail thinking it was another dog and attack that tail. But can you imagine being in such pain that you try to bite yourself to ease the pain? There's no liberty. But when the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Amen. But there'll be no liberty. It'll not be like in heaven where you can walk and stroll. In hell, there's no liberty. You're in a lake of fire. You're falling. There's nothing to put your feet upon. It's a lake. And no scarier feeling. I used to think I'd rather die anyway than drowning. Did you know that when you drowned, I ran a water rescue team from here for years. We would pull people out. We averaged getting to those people and getting them out of the water within 14 minutes, which is pretty good. We had people from Louisville and Lexington coming in trying to figure out how we did it so quick. But you know, when we got them out quickly, we get them out, they'd hardly have any water. Most drowned people, when you get them out quick, has less than a tablespoon of water in their lungs. Did you know that? The only time they have water in their lungs is after they die and their organs quit. And then when their organs quit, they relax and the water fills their lungs. What happens is their voice box, the thing you speak with, when water tries to protrude through it, it'll spasm at first and it'll shut off and it'll shut tight. And as long as you have life, it will shut tight to the point that it'll even suffocate you to death. And the reason why it does that is because that water is foreign to it. That's why if you take a drink and you get coughing and you say, it went down the wrong place. Well, you're saying it went to the larynx or the voice box, and your voice box started pushing it back out because it didn't want that water in there. It had no place to belong into your lungs. My point is this, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to just fall. But that's what the lake of fire is. tormented on every side, falling. You said, "Preacher, I don't like to think about it." Can I tell you this? This old world would be a lot better place if we preach on a little more. And I'm going to tell you this, America would be a lot better place if it kept preaching on it.
Amen.
Instead of hiding it and putting it away and pretending like it didn't exist. We need to remember that it is a literal place, folks. And tonight, what I want to share with you is this, and I'll share with you one more thing. There's one more thing that makes it up. Everybody that you meet down there is lost. Somebody said, "Well, I know so-and-so." No, if they're down there, they were lost. Jesus said, they came to him, they stood before him. They said, "Lord, do we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils, do all these wonderful works?" He'll say, "Depart from me, you work. I never knew you." You're lost. Everybody down there will be lost. Everybody will be in the same boat. So, folks, I don't want you ever, and I don't want these children and these young people, I don't want you to ever forget about hell. I want you to understand it's real. Somebody said a while back, I think it was Greg or something, one night when we was doing testimonies, he said something about the fear of hell helped bring him to God. And I've heard people preach against that. I never preach against that because the fear of hell brought me to God too. I believe that it was a real place and I didn't want to go there. And by the way, I'll soon be 60 years old and I still believe it's a real place. And the Bible teaches definitely that it is a real place. And I'm going to trust what the Bible says about it more than what anybody else wants to say about it. And by the way, can I tell you this? Jesus taught much more about it than he ever did about heaven. And he created it. And not one time did he ever indicate it was a figurative speech or a parable. Every time it was a real place and a definite place. And so tonight we have a couple things. One is, I want to say this. Thank God for his grace.
Amen.
And that song that we sung, that first song, I remember the time and I remember the place. And I'm so glad I have that time and place in my life where I put my faith and trust in Christ. And so tonight, if you have been saved, you need to thank God. But if you happen to be here tonight and you've never been saved, you need to come and find Jesus. And if you're here tonight, and maybe you know someone who's not, maybe you need to pray about that person and be more concerned about that person.